This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's good stuff.
It's Tennessee whiskey.
That's Chris Stapleton.
Bluesy and nice.
Yeah. As Duke can say.
I can roll with that.
Yep. He's amazing live. He's not just a good studio voice.
Would he be considered like Zach Brownish, too?
I mean, if you wanted to label him as such, sure.
They're similar in some ways, aren't they?
No, but I just want to go on
record,
though,
real quick. I want to go on record because I love you, Barry. But if you ever say anything bad about Kane Brown again, I'm cutting you after the show. Cutting you.
Damn.
Cutting you.
Is that serious?
Good thing I have back my heat.
Yeah. We're going to need it. We're going to need it.
Really? You're that passionate about
Kane Brown?
Kane Brown?
Ever say anything about Kane Brown? And the entire city of Houston and 409 can make fun of me for it, and I don't care. You didn't even know who Chris Stapleton was for a second.
I mean, I know the song. I just don't. Look, I'm old, dude. I'm 45. I can't keep up with all this music anymore. I'm old school to the bone. That's it. I don't listen to all this hibbity-hoppity stuff nowadays.
Hibbity-hop. There it is, an old thing. Do you have a hat yet, Nick, by the way?
A hat?
A cowboy hat.
I've had cowboy hats. I rarely wear it, though. Wear them.
You should wear it to work. Are you going to dress up for Go Texan Day? I think you should.
You're going to wear it to the rodeo, aren't you?
No. I rarely wear
When you hope that Kane, what's his name, signs your
lid? I'll wear
Kane
Brown hats. No.
Are you going to let Kane Brown sign your chest?
Yeah.
I might.
One of your plaids? He's going to sign one of your plaids.
Somebody texted and said, Chris Stapleton is the bleep, and I'm a 30-year-old black dude who grew up on rap.
Put some respect on Chris Stapleton.
No,
seriously.
I agree with you.
And someone tweeted,
I backed off.
Whoever just tweeted, Troz, what is
it? Yeah, who is this?
World Series champs, whatever this guy is. He said, what song is this?
Yep, Tennessee
You should be whiskey. Ashamed of yourself.
That's Tennessee Whiskey. It's a really good song. Joel and Barry sound like old ass get off my lawn guys. Nick knows what's up.
Yeah.
Nick, it's not your fault. You work with a couple of old fogies.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Who says old fogies? You know who says old fogies? Old fogies.
Yeah.
Say old fogies, you idiot. You're a bunch of old fogies. Nobody says old fogies unless they're an old fogey. Get out of here. Scram, kid. Stupid.
You could have left the old fogies part out, bro. Why'd you...
He ruined it for himself.
I appreciate
himself.
The support.
He really did.
He ruined it for himself.
But otherwise, we probably both would have went, yeah, fair enough.
No, I do feel old looking at that lineup going, no idea. No idea.
But I know Kane Brown, I know you're open-minded no
Sounds
enough.
Like a wrestler. Isn't he a wrestler? That's a great call. Wasn't him and The Undertaker like a thing?
It was Kane.
Oh, it was
not Kane Brown.
Okay.
Close enough, right?
And then they had their manager was Marshmallow. I don't know. Somebody goes, y'all stop roasting Marshmallow.
Love Marshmallow.
That was a good text. That was fantastic.
Stop roasting Marshmallow.
E on Twitter said, turn off the Kane Brown so bad, but like your Chris Stapleton. Coming back much better. Actual talent.
A lot of people are on that Ramon Ayala, by the way. You got to bump some Ramon Ayala today, Nicholas. Trust me. The Hispanic contingent of the suspects
I will honor the request.
Wants some Ramon Ayala. Bump it. I don't care what song you play. Any of it. It's going to have an accordion in it, though, I promise. Guaranteed. 1,000% it's going to have an accordion in it. No matter what. But it's good stuff. My wife plays it all the time.
Does she?
Yep.
Really?
Oh, trust, dude. When we drive around.
Lisa does not.
Because, you know, if I'm riding a Norris car, she's got her phone hooked up to her car, her playlist. Like, last night, she bumped George Strait's El Rey. I'm like, I didn't even know George Strait knew Spanish. He's got a whole song in Spanish that he sings. El Rey, a good song, by the way. Just the song in general, not his version, but overall. But, she's Ramon Ayala and all that.
No, that's not Lisa.
Yep. No?
No.
She's very popish.
No,
like, she's more not Tejano, but like Selena or... I mean, Selena, I guess, is kind of taking on.
I'll be honest, she loves...
Is she more of like a Menudo?
She and her mom and stuff like that.
Ricky
Martin. They're like really
old
school, and they love mariachis. They love all that kind of stuff. But I don't think that from a musical, just straight musical perspective, that they're into a lot of that.
No?
No.
She's like Ricky Martin and Gerardo.
Rico. She grew up listening to her mom's Motown.
Suave.
So whenever mom's in town, they're doing a lot of Motown and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
And then she does...
Lisa doesn't strike me as a Motown kind of person.
And Lisa going to UCLA has a vast knowledge of hip-hop and stuff like that.
Okay.
But she's just not big on the cultural music.
Okay.
There I have that. Is that the way I put it? Did I put it correctly?
I guess.
Okay. All right, so we've covered a lot of ground so far in the show. Little Astros for you, because there's a couple of little nuggets here from the Astros that aren't going to make a lot of people happy. One's going to make me ecstatic. But Hector Rondon is Rondon. He's gone.
You're happy
not just
about
because
that.
He's given up home run balls. He got a one-year deal from the Arizona Diamondbacks for $3 million. That's the worst $3 million spent in the history of relief pitchers. But enjoy yourself,
you
Arizona.
You were not a Rondon fan.
No, at all.
I tell you what, this bullpen is going to be completely different.
Different.
Yeah.
Right?
It is going to look completely different.
You still don't know what's going to happen with McHugh. But right. You know that Will Harris is gone and Rondon is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already wondering. And then based on who ends up starting.
And Harris was the key to that bullpen.
Sure.
Let's be real. You lost the best arm in your bullpen as far as consistency.
Ryan Pressly till he got hurt.
Yeah, but as far as consistency and who A.J. Hinch counted on the most and who I
but
think
I
was the
most.
Who pitched the best all year?
In the most high leverage situations until he got hurt. Ryan Pressly was in that conversation.
For a couple months. He tailed off pretty quick.
Right, but once he got hurt. And we don't know how long the injury was bothering him, but we know for a good first part of the season, he was that guy for Hinch. And then, you're right, later in the year, Will Harris took it over, but also Ryan Pressly was dealing with an injury. Mm-hmm. Now, Ryan Pressly's coming back from that injury. We know he tweaked it again in the playoffs. But your back of the bullpen was Ryan Pressly and Osuna and Will Harris. So we know one of those guys is gone. Now, we know Joe Smith is back. I don't know how excited you can get about that.
Brad Peacock is still here.
Yep.
Josh Peacock. James.
McHugh's contract is up.
Yeah, I mean, Urquidy's probably not going to be a bullpen guy. He's going to be a starter. But you've got Osuna. You've got Ryan Pressly as your setup guy. Joe Smith is probably your seventh inning guy now.
Or situational guy.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's good enough, then he might have to be your seventh inning guy. Because Brad Peacock, we don't know what he's going to be.
You said, Josh James is a good arm to have.
But is he going to be a starter? Is he going to compete for that fifth spot?
Got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that guy's got more issues between his ears, I think, sometimes.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times he doesn't deal with the stress and pressure very well.
I would agree with that.
So we'll see what you're right, though. Totally different look. And here's another thing. Mm-hmm. Their starting catcher's gone as well. Robinson Chirinos, was nice knowing you. Thanks for the year. Going right back where he came from. $6.75 million, one-year deal to go back to the Rangers.
Mm.
Got paid.
Yeah, he did.
Can't fault him.
No. It's not a huge loss. None of those guys. Maldonado, Chirinos, they weren't as far as handling the pitching staff, I think it's a bigger loss.
Back, right? They're bringing Maldonado back.
I think they're bringing back the machete, yeah. But it's because they have Garrett Stubbs, I think, and Garneau or whatever that dude's name is. I don't know that losing Chirinos, I like the way he handled the staff. He had a better bat than Maldonado, but I thought Maldonado was better throwing out runners, and he's still really good at dealing with the pitching staff. So that's probably, I think Maldonado ends up being your starter, and a guy like Stubbs or Garneau is going to be your backup and, you know, your Max Stassi, if you will, to make it relatable. But I was trying to see.
2 years, $7 million. Maldonado is back.
Okay.
So.
I was trying to look up Brad Peacock. Yeah, this is his last year. He is, this will be his last year. He'll go through arbitration. They're estimating he's going to get $4.6 million. And then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So then you're going to have to figure out at 31, is Brad Peacock, does he factor in long-term on this team or somewhere else? He's a pretty flexible guy, especially if you need arms in that bullpen. But he does have one year left, so he'll be back at
least. Health is the biggest concern with him because they thought he might need surgery last year. He avoided it, but he spent a significant amount of time on the IL.
Yeah.
So he's a guy, McHugh's a guy, where you know what, in spurts when they've been good, they've been very good, but they've been grossly inconsistent because of injury and because of some downtime.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That bullpen's going to be interesting to see how they build it back, especially if they keep talking about not having the money. Yep. About the fact that Will Harris said that the Astros were out of it in the first weekend of a two-week process of who was bidding for his services. They weren't willing to come up with the money, and they weren't coming up with a third year. So they weren't even in the final couple of teams to try and get him back, which tells you that they are financially strapped, and they are concerned about the future. So if that's being said, don't look for them to go get some big-name front-line catcher. Don't look to try and get a whole bunch of, you know, they're not going to get any expensive arms in the bullpen.
No. That's not where they're going to spend their
money.
And
I don't even know where they're going to get the money to get a frontline pitcher with Luno saying that's his target.
That's going to be interesting. And it's probably going to have to, you may end up having to swing some trades where you send a Forrest Whitley, but then you have to send a Josh Reddick with it. And then,
well, they'd like to send a Josh Reddick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you're going to have to give up a prospect and Josh Reddick to make a deal like that happen. I think.
Raheel, AJ, and Lance did a sports map video the other day with a very interesting scenario. That if the Indians are clearly kind of in rebuild mode and unloading salaries and otherwise, the rumor was that Mike Clevenger's name has surfaced as a guy that might be available. Would you give up Forrest Whitley in order to get a Mike Clevenger? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think I would do that too.
I
don't know that that Forrest Whitley's ever going to be what you think he's
going to
be.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. He was highly touted. He had the suspension for illegal substances used. And when he came back, he wasn't the same player. They had to send him to the minor league camp to try and rehabilitate him in a lot of ways. But now all of a sudden, he's lighting the Arizona Fall League and the Mexican League on fire to where he is going to be fantastic next year. It doesn't tell me anything.
No.
So if you're going to take a guy that's a unproven prospect and trade him for a proven commodity like Mike Clevenger, and Mike Clevenger instantly goes to the top three in your rotation.
I like it.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I would do that.
Now, if you had to give up Tucker and Whitley
to get Mike Clevenger?
Get Clevenger, would you do it? I still think I would.
I don't think I would.
Really?
Because you got to have that replacement, that long-term replacement for
Reddick.
Springer or Reddick.
Yeah.
You're going to have to rebuild an outfield at some point because you don't know if you're going to keep – you're going to have to make a decision. If you decide you're going to keep Springer
– plus, you only got one more year of Brantley.
Because you're going to have to make a decision. That's right. Brantley, Springer, and then, you know, Correa. All three of those guys you're not keeping. So you get Kyle Tucker on the cheap. If you can get good offensive production at the major league level – from a guy that's costing you $500,000 a year.
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I just haven't seen...
That's important.
I haven't
that's how you keep winning.
I haven't seen on the field the Kyle Tucker that everybody said was supposed to be.
I agree with
him.
That, but I'd rather not give him up than... I wouldn't mind giving up Forrest Whitley.
I would give up Forrest Whitley in a heartbeat. It's just what else was it going to take? Because the Indians aren't going to just take Whitley straight up for
like
a proven
pitcher. If it was Forrest Whitley, another top 10 prospect, and Josh Reddick, and you could get Clevenger, I'd be all in.
Okay.
I'd do that.
I think I would be too.
This is good stuff.
This is not...
Oh, imagine that, an accordion.
They don't swear, right?
I don't know.
A little late to be
asking
that question.
I don't know what they're saying.
I really hope they don't
swear. I'll call Nora. I'll be like, does Ramon Ayala swear, baby?
Nora cranks this out?
Oh, yeah. I'm driving around Houston, Texas with this blaring.
Really?
Riding in the car with my wife. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
The things you never knew before. Wow. The more you know. All right. Final hour of the show rolls on. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What? Just drive around listening to this, not knowing a damn word they say, and then I'll ask Nora. She'll be like, it's too complicated to explain. I'm like, it can't be about anything more than like drinking or something, right?
I couldn't do it.
No?
I'd tell Lisa to take her own car. Couldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, this isn't bad at all. I don't mind this at all. It's kind of makes you feel good. It's a happy. It's
you
a happy
like
music.
It. Used to it, Joel.
Yeah,
Nick, you liked it.
Francisco Abarca said, "Ramon Ayala is when macho Mexicans want to get drunk and cry." That is so true. Oh God, that's so true.
Who was the Mexican crooner that fell off the stage at Toyota Center and broke his arm? He was a big name, too, back in the day. That he had to come back.
Julio Iglesias?
No. I can't remember it right now. But they had because Toyota Center always has some pretty big concerts like that. And they had, I forget his name. But I think
Juan Gabriel?
Yeah, Juan Gabriel.
I'm not even going to tell you what I Googled to find that.
Yeah.
But
broke
he
our Mexican.
He fell off the stage.
I am not repeating. Yeah, he fell off the stage. This happened in 2005.
Yeah, I knew while I was there that it happened.
Really?
Yeah, there were a lot of people upset. I think he had to postpone it.
Oh, that's not good.
No. So
well, he broke his wrist back and suffered a concussion. Oh, why were you so upset, fans?
It's a hell of a fall.
Right?
They don't care about his health and well-being. True. They just want to make sure they get out for the night and get the concert and the tunes.
And the money that they paid for them tickets.
Damn right. Yeah. They don't want to wait.
That was a good bump back, though, Nick. Good job. I texted Nora. I was like, hey, we're playing Ramon Ayala. What's your favorite song? I don't even know if the response is going to be in English. I'll be honest with you.
You got the translation button on your phone?
I'll just run it through Google Translate. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday, but I did.
Real quick, I just want to read this text because we're about to get off the subject. But Robert and Tomball texted the show. Text of the day. It says, Tub Thumping, I'm Blue, and Marshmallow. Nick literally has my six-year-old's taste in music. Okay, well done, Robert and Tomball. That's text of the day. We can move on now.
There you go. So press conferences happened yesterday for Matt Rhule with the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And for Mike McCarthy in Dallas with the Cowboys. Interesting questions for both. Both were asked, when did they have the aha moment when they knew that they were going where they were going? Mike McCarthy said it was when Jerry Jones grabbed his forearm after telling a very deeply thought out story about the history of the Cowboys and what it means to be here, and then grabbed his forearm and explained to him, you need to be the next coach of the Cowboys.
Oh, God.
And he knew it. At which time he said then when he agreed to the deal that when he came home, his wife said he looked 20 pounds lighter and 20 years younger. I don't know about the younger part, but based on watching him sit down at that press conference.
It wasn't lighter?
He ain't 20 pounds lighter.
I'm sorry. I'm allergic to bullshit.
Exactly right. And I'll say this on the flip side. And Matt Rhule's a funny guy. Okay? He's got personality. He's smart. He's convincing when he speaks, but when he was asked the same question, he goes, I don't know. The first part of that would be that we sat around talking for so long and it was so relaxed and nothing was rehearsed that at one point my wife, when I walked out of the room, said to me, what more do you need to hear? And he said, she's always been right. He goes, the other sign was my kid walked into the room and said, when are we going to Carolina? And when I said I didn't know if we were doing it yet, he got pissed off, turned around, and stormed out of the room. And he goes, all right, well, I figured out I know where my family is.
There you go.
So those were pretty good. I will say this, though, listening to both. But, boy, I understand why Matt Rhule was sought after. I understand why he was able to do what he was able to do. He is an honest, just upfront kind of guy.
You like
I like everything about the way he handled it. It's going to be interesting now how he handles Cam Newton and that whole situation. But I'll tell you this. I understand now what I didn't know before about why everybody was so high on Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
I like his story. I mean, the fact that the way he handled things and what he's done and kind of an unproven commodity and it's been an interesting road. I'm really worried that he's just not going to succeed at the NFL level. I don't see the pedigree. I could be wrong. I absolutely could be wrong. I mean, plenty of guys are succeeding. I think he might have some early success, but I just worry, man.
It'll be interesting who his coordinators are, too.
That's true. If he gets some guys
he needs some veteran NFL coordinators would help him. McCarthy's already putting together a hell of a staff. Just from the standpoint of we got Nolan as his defensive coordinator. He kept Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. And why wouldn't you with the numbers they put up last year? He got arguably the best special teams coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And their special teams was lacking last year. And he said during the press conference, what I like is I have a good Rolodex full of contacts of people in the NFL that want to come here. And a lot of them are reaching out to him. So he's already well on his way to putting the staff together. Rhule had said, look, my family's going home, and I'm about to go into the general manager's office, and we're going to start trying to figure out who our staff's going to be. He's a little behind.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So and he did not want to touch on the whole, did he call? He says he didn't personally call the Giants and say, do you want to match this? He said his agent does, but he soft-sold it by saying, I mean, my agent's doing his job, so he pretty much put the word out there to everybody else, I'm sure, to see before we made a decision. But for whatever reason, I don't know what the Giants are doing. They introduced their new coach, Joe Judge, today in New York. Yes, he's worked under Nick Saban. Yes, he's worked under Bill Belichick. But no, he's never even been a coordinator in the NFL.
No, he has. Special teams coordinator.
Okay, I'm saying OCDC.
Nope. special teams coordinator, Joel. He's got.
So you're telling me he's the next Harbaugh?
He's an STC.
He's the next John Harbaugh?
That's it. That's what I think the Giants are hoping for.
So you're not sold on Matt Rhule being able to get it done on the NFL level.
I'm all on board. Joe Judge is jury. Done. No, I think of the two, if I had to pick, for sure, I think Matt Rhule has a much better chance of succeeding.
I would agree. Stuff. I can't agree with you.
Yes, you don't.
No. Not couldn't agree with you more. I can't agree with you on this one. I'm sorry.
Well done, Nicholas.
All right. Half hour to go on the show. 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I don't know what we're bumping with, but we're having...
That's the best I could do with the voice.
I was
going
to say, with your voice and the condition it's not working. And you're willing to try that.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Either do it right or don't do it at all.
Yeah we need your voice for another 30 minutes.
Wow, that was
impressive.
Thank you very much.
You secretly listen to this music all the time.
Usual Lisa suspect. Taught you that.
Nope.
No?
ESPN, 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show on Hispanic Heritage Day on The Usual Suspects, suddenly.
I told you, Nora texted me back. I said, we're playing Ramon Ayala on the show. What's your favorite song? I have no idea how to say this or if this is even a curse word. Un puno de tierra? I don't know what that is. I mean, like, baby, did you just make me cuss on air? I have no idea. Un space P-U-N-O space D-E space T-I-E-R-R-A. Un puno de tierra? Is that a song, Nicholas? Can you look that up?
Spell that one more time, but hold on.
U-N space P-U-N-O. Un puno de tierra.
A lot of people saying they're heading to happy hour because of this.
There's going to be a lot of margaritas drank today. And Nick, when we were bumping back, Nick goes, if the Hispanic suspects don't love us now.
Good point.
Is this it?
This is it.
Oh, yeah. Nope. I've heard this a million times. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is it. Bumping around H-Town to this.
You can't see Ivan, like, kind of doing them bouncing steps right now. You can't see Ivan doing that right now.
I can totally. No, El Jefe right now, he just put on his boots with the big thing that curls up on the front of it. I know El Jefe's got his boots on with them big curled up toes.
Tickling the keys on the accordion.
They
on
get
some
down,
of these.
Don't they?
Jeez.
It's like Slash shredding with Guns N' Roses,
yeah.
Bro.
I'm like, man,
they get down on that accordion.
Man, I still can't believe you drive around town.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't. Nora does, but I'm with her.
You have no choice. So you're in the car.
I love me some Un Puno de Tierra.
Did you ever have like a system back in the day when you were married to her? Did you like jam to this song?
Whatever you're doing with your Un Puno, I don't know.
I'd be willing to bet you, though, her brother, Alex, he had a system in his car and would do this. Just totally just be basing to some Ramon Ayala. Guarantee you Alex did that.
You going to the show then?
I
should probably get Nora tickets.
Trust me, if there's a way I can scoop up some tickets.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
She's going to want to go.
So Courtney's on line one.
Exactly. I'm definitely drinking tonight. Signed, a Mexican. That was a text we got. No doubt.
I will say this, getting back to the press conferences in the NFL yesterday,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm.
I do, just watching McCarthy and listening to him, I like the dude. I hope he does well in Dallas. That's hard for me because I've never been a Cowboys fan.
Really?
I hate the Cowboys. But I hope he does well there. And then news from this weekend, as we'll get more into the actual games, the Vikings finally have to say something about Adam Thielen, and they listed a sprained ankle. Now it's coming out that he had stitches in the ankle after cutting it open at practice, but they won't say how.
Damn.
Someone wearing baseball spikes
or something? Well, I was going to say, I wonder if it was some sort of spikes or something like that.
So he's been stitched up. Diggs sat out practice, expected to play. For Baltimore, a lot of speculation about the running game. But, Mark Ingram will play with his hamstring. So he's been limited at practice, but Mark Ingram's going to play.
Okay.
So we know that. And then from a team just recently eliminated, surprising, the Eagles fired their offensive coordinator and their wide receivers coach.
That doesn't surprise me.
It surprises me.
Fire their secondary coach,
and I'll tell
too.
You why. I understand firing offensive coordinator Mike Groh, because at the same time, that's what Doug Peterson is. He's an offensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
So he can call the plays. He can do whatever he wants. I get that. And there was some scrutinizing over their offense. Why are you firing wide receivers coach Carson Walsh when you lost your three best receivers? You made Greg Ward, a college quarterback, into a receiver, and your guys held their own all the way into the playoffs.
Some heads had to roll.
Man, I would disagree.
I don't know
with
who the secondary coach is over there, but I'm surprised he survived.
Oh, that's terrible. But again, a lot of it is the general manager and what you're able to do cap-wise to put the right players in the secondary. But you can't second-guess what the backups for the receiving core of the Eagles were able to do at the end of the year. Come on, man. Greg Ward's now going to have a job as a receiver in this league. He was a practice player.
It won't last.
You lost. The thing about the guys you lost. You lost DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You lost Aguilar.
I know.
You lost Alshon Jeffries. And yet, you were still in it with Carson Wentz and into the playoffs. I just think that guy, unless I'm missing something, obviously I don't know what happens behind the scenes, but just on those facts alone, and they were still able to get guys that were out there performing as wide receivers in the NFL, I give him credit.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that heads are rolling, and it's not coming, it's not the top. Because he's still close enough to a Super Bowl that he can fire his coaching staff and survive.
Yeah, and they're not going to let him go. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
By the way, we have definitely heard from the Hispanic delegation on Twitter.
Okay. Even Cobos, too, is even
Roe Pippen, Mark Villalobos, Jesse Marillo, SG, Josh Fernandez. They're all like, oh, yeah, you guys are jamming. Y'all are officially invited to the barbecue, La Carne Asada. Roe Pippen said y'all are jamming today. All are invited to the barbecue with this Ramon Ayala today. That was from Mark Villalobos, so... we showed some love to the Hispanic delegation of the suspects, and it has been reciprocated. Well done.
So ESPN also had this article today of the 12 playoff teams. They tried to prognosticate the moves that had to be made for each team.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So in the case of the Texans, it's very interesting because it says in terms of just cap space alone, what they're going to have to deal with this year, they're going to have the 12th most cap space in the NFL. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So 12th in the NFL, $60 million to play with. But of course, as we continue to mention, they have Watson's contract. He's eligible for a new deal this offseason. So if you want to try and get it done now, you know he's one of those guys where whoever gets the next deal is going to get the best deal. If you want to give him the next best deal now, you're probably going to save money over when his contract is ready to expire. Because there's obviously, we still know that Dak Prescott doesn't have a deal. There's going to be lots of contracts coming up.
Right.
So that's something to consider. In the secondary, they know that Roby's a free agent. Jonathan Joseph's a free agent. Philip Gaines is a free agent. Vernon Hargraves will be cut because his cap hold is $10 million for next year. That leaves them with Gerrion Conley, Lonnie Johnson, and Keon Crossan as their corners. A new deal for Roby would be great, but he came on a one-year deal. You're going to have to pay to get him. And then there's Will Fuller.
That's a decision that's got to be made.
Huge decision, they're saying, on Bill O'Brien's shoulders. Are they going to pick up Fuller's fifth-year option at $10.2 mil? You got Kenny Stills under contract for one more at $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that they bring him back. And it's simply because, you're right, they started out criticizing his hands, but now the only thing you can talk about is he just can't
his
stay healthy.
Yeah, it's not his hands, it's his health, and can he stay on the field? And I don't feel like he plays in, I haven't looked, I need to look at his games played per year. But it seems like it's about six. If you had to guess over under how many games he's played in a year over his first 4 years, what would you say?
So all combined?
No, like average per season.
I would say eight.
A year?
I would say eight as well.
Well,
I'm guessing.
This is kind of surprising, but 2016, 14 games played. 2017, 10 games played. 2018, 7 games. 2019, this dude played in 11 games.
Hmm.
But the part of the problem is he leaves the game after the first quarter.
Yeah.
with a sore hamstring or whatever. But that's 42 games over 4 years. That's 10 games a year.
Yeah, that's not good.
Out of a 16-game season, that's not good.
No.
Can't have that.
Other free agents for the Texans, DJ Reader, who's going to get paid, whether here or elsewhere, he's going to get interest. Yeah. Brandon Dunn, Jahlil Adai, all decent defensive rotational players. And then you've got to figure out what you're going to do or not do with Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
I assume you're letting Lamar Miller walk.
Well, he's a free agent, so.
I'm assuming you're going to let him go.
I mean, he's gone. You're saying they won't offer him another deal?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to compete for Lamar Miller.
So Carlos Hyde is up. Darren Fells is up. Kyahmi Fairbairn is up. Kyahmi's probably the guy you, in his own mind, would be better off not being up because now that's easy to walk away from.
Yeah.
Tons of work to be done, and they traded away their first, third, and sixth round picks for this year. Mm. If you're a GM, you want that job?
No way.
I don't think so either.
No way.
Yeah, I think that that's a lot of work to be done, and the resources are going to be limited. So even with the 12th most cap space, that what that says is if you're with all the free agents of your own you have to re-sign, ain't going to be a whole lot left in the cupboard to go out and get a Chris Harris Jr. to add another corner or to get someone off the free agency market that can really help you as an impact player.
At least they locked up Brian Anger, though. Thank God.
I mean, to be honest with you, he came on once they brought him back as a good punter. But the more important thing is that they didn't overpay for Nick Martin or Whitney Merciless. Jeez. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, of course, it looks like they're not going to replace their general manager either.
Nope.
Bill and crew are just going to continue to do what they
do. It is going to be Billy O.
So, we got one segment to go on the show. You're going to just finish the show this way, aren't you?
Might as well. I mean, there's too many people. Normally, I don't do song requests, but I'm having too much fun with the Hispanic community. It's fun.
And they're loving it. And people are like, yo, this is great. This is some of the best bump back music we've had. Just because Joel doesn't like it.
Doesn't mean we don't have to play.
Because you hate your wife's heritage.
Yeah.
Her hair's fine.
That's not her hair. Jeez.
Back for the final segments, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
De pronto todo aquello se acabó.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I love that Lisa chimed in.
She's listening. She can never say she doesn't listen because she's listening.
That's so funny.
She comes in with, like, pronunciation correction on Barry's.
Correct the white guy, Lisa. Sure. Sure. I'm over here. I'm trying, Lisa. Okay? At least I'm open to this music, unlike Joel.
Tell Barry, that's a song. On Puno de Tierra.
No, it's not Puno, by the way. I got corrected by several people. It's Puno.
Okay.
P-U-N and then the little squiggly above the N.
Yeah. And so Lisa's got that.
It's Puno, which, look, I'm
she
a white guy.
She says it means a handful of dirt.
Well, that's about as good as my pronunciation was worth. It was a handful of dirt. But I'm trying, okay? I'm trying to bring some flavor. I failed at the pronunciation. What do you expect? But at least I know half of this
show. She
stuff.
Gave me a helper, too. She said Puno is like Nuno, like David Nuno. That's how you should remember.
See, okay. There you go. He does have the little squiggly in his name.
He does.
Above the N. Okay. Handful of Dirt. This is my wife's favorite song. Handful of Dirt. I think she's trying to kill me. That's what it sounds like. She's trying to bury me.
Well, when I get the rat poison for the rodents in my yard, if she needs a little more, I can slide her some.
No.
No?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate you not murdering me through my wife.
But it might get rid of some feral hogs.
No.
No? Okay. Well, at least I tried. She's listening. I can't believe that. Because I love the fact that she says she doesn't listen. Gotcha!
El Jefe said, me and the rest of the Mexican suspects going in and coming out of break, and it's a guy dancing. But he said, boy, the Viter suspects are pissed.
I saw that tweet.
I don't think so. Look, we play when we get on a country music kick, we play a lot of country music. Sometimes we'll do a lot of old school hip hop, some rock and roll. We're just on a Tejano kick today, just because of the rodeo lineup, and it came up that Ramon Ayala was one of the top choices for me on that list. So this is how it evolved. And the suspects, the Hispanic delegations, they're loving it. So there you go.
Did you guys hear about this 59-year-old woman that tossed a bucket of human waste at her landlord's face?
Oh, no.
How about that? First of all,
why would you do that?
Who's got a bucket of human waste hanging
That's
around?
That's a great point, Joel. Who's keeping a bucket of waste just like, well, just in case someone makes me mad, I need something to throw.
Glad you asked that, Barry, because I think when we start putting together the pieces of this puzzle, it's going to start taking shape for you.
Okay.
All right. Joanne Mercator was collared following a confrontation in the middle of her mobile home trailer that she rents from her 65-year-old landlord. She was busted for battery on a person 65 or older, which is a felony. The victim told the sheriff's deputies she had previously arranged with the landlord to check on broken items within the residence. When the victim received no response to her knocking, she opened the trailer door and met the landlord with a full bucket of human feces being thrown into her face.
So this is premeditated poop slinging, is
no
what this is.
No question about
so
it.
So she basically was like, you know what? I got something for this hoe. I'm going to get me a bucket. And over the course of a week or so, because if it's a bucket full, you're not doing that in one shot. You've got to spend some time. You got to put a lid on it. Now it's marinating. That's not a crime. That just doesn't seem like a very smart crime. I would go scoop up a bunch of dog poop or something that's already out there in wherever you. I'm guessing this is a trailer park, so I'm guessing that there's.
So here's another missing piece that we have to put
to the puzzle.
That's just
crazy that you're like, okay, 2 months from now, this bitch is going to get it as soon as I'm done pooping in this bucket over and over and over again.
But now it brings into the conversation another bucket.
Okay.
Because it said, when initially encountered, the landlord was completely covered in feces that was also dripping wet. After initially claiming that the victim had attacked her first, Mercator admitted to throwing the bucket of feces on the landlord as soon as she entered the residence. First of all, why do you do it inside the residence? Why don't you do it outside?
Well, you ain't gonna live there much longer.
Here's the curveball. She claims she had intended to use a bucket of water, but got the two buckets confused. Why do you have a bucket of water just sitting there?
You got a bucket of water next to your poop bucket. This is...
Body camera footage.
This is why I don't date
that
anymore.
Responding deputies were bewildered by the trailer scene as both of them were covered in crap.
Well, obviously.
Poop everywhere, another deputy exclaimed. And the kicker, Barry, what beautiful state in the lower 48 did this occur?
Of course. People are saying maybe her toilet was broken.
Maybe that's why she wanted the landlord. Maybe it's possible.
Dee and Lance both said, well, maybe her toilet was broken. That's why she was mad at the landlord. And then she's like, here, you don't want to fix it. This is what I got. Bam. That just seems aggressive.
Our suspects are smarter than most. That's a good analogy of what possibly could have happened.
That seems a little, I don't know.
In case you didn't get it with what we normally do in this segment, yeah, this all happened in Florida.
Yeah, this is I feel like that's kind of getting an old thing. Like, the Florida thing.
But how do you escape it when that's where it happened?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like
I don't feel like even if we're looking at the weirdest stories coming out of Texas, we're not coming up with dailies like this.
But we should do that. We should just be now on. It should just be weird stories from Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If that's the way you want to do it, then we are going. The listeners are going to be missing and be out on.
No, because trust me, these Florida stories are beat into the ground. Everybody does them. We will rise above. We shall overcome.
So then I can't tell you about the Florida man that turned his computer in at Best Buy to the Geek Squad. And while he turned it in to get repairs, they found child porn all over it. They turned him in and they busted him.
What?
Yep. William Crawford, 69, arrested yesterday on 10 counts of possession of child porn. He subsequently resigned his job at John Long Middle School.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
According to the complaint, he brought his Toshiba satellite computer into a Best Buy for repair And while working on the computer, the Geek Squad technician observed images consistent with child pornography, prompting store officials to alert police.
Good.
Who alerted Crawford, then arrested him and put him behind bars.
Good. First of all, he deserves it just because he's a nasty-ass pedophile. But you're also a dumbass. If you're doing something illegal on your computer and you don't remove it first, your dumbass deserves to go to jail for a really long time. And I hope they do bad things to your backside while you're there. Just for being a pedophile.
In Florida.
Nasty. See, stop it.
Where he's a resident.
Rise above, Joel. We're better than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Florida version of the news. I don't think there's anything else worth talking about, but those two were Florida stories.
Well, there you go.
That I figured that you would have some fun with. I didn't figure you'd poo-poo.
No, it's not.
You poo-pooed on the human waste story.
You know, it's kind of like, I feel like Florida stories have become like Mount Rushmore stories. Like, everybody in radio does Florida stories, and we're not that show. We don't do Mount Rushmores. We don't need to do Florida stories, right?
A Tennessee woman was facing domestic assault charges after her boyfriend told police that she bit and scratched
this is Joel lashing out.
during some intimate activities on New Year's Day.
Wait a minute. Wait, so repeat that?
Tennessee woman facing domestic assault charges. Her boyfriend told police she bit and scratched him during intimate activities on New Year's Day.
All right, well, tell me when you get to the bad part.
Around
biting and scratching, that's not
around
terrible.
Around 1:25 a.m. on New Year's Day, cops in Nashville were brought to the apartment. Upon arriving, the victim told officers that his girlfriend began to bite and scratch him while or slightly before they began intimate activities.
Wait, stop.
Bite.
While or before, you don't know which?
Just telling you what it
says. But what that means, though, is that he didn't stop, which is typical of a man. She's biting and scratching, but he said it either started right before we started having sex or during. But you notice they still had sex, regardless of the fact that there was biting and scratching going on. He's still banging it out. He's still like, I can tough this out. I can deal with a little biting and scratching.
He added that the biting and scratching was beyond the scope of their normal intimacy.
Pineapple,
it's a new
bitch.
Year. They're it's turning going over a new leaf.
He's doing the safe word. Bitch. Pineapple. Ow. Why are you?
Eggplant. No, not eggplant. Something else.
That's wild, man. People are, I don't understand like all of this just sheer weirdness that goes on. I don't know how people live these lives. You know that 90% of the time there's some sort of drug
involved.
The
victim had scratch marks on his back, bite marks on his arm and back.
Mm-hmm.
And while speaking with police,
she bit his back. What way were they facing? How does she bite his back?
Well, that's an interesting question.
What way was she facing?
Oh, I think you know.
She was
taking
bringing the
control
lumber.
Control of the situation, yes.
Man, if you're getting your back bit and you're the dude and you're doing it with a chick, y'all are doing it wrong.
Here's the kicker, Barry.
You need to turn around.
When talking to police, her boyfriend said that she had also punched him several times a few weeks ago, but he didn't report it.
He didn't report it.
What the hell are they doing in the bedroom?
Because it was kind of like, it's probably similar to like getting choked or something like that. You're like, yeah, she punched me, but it was right when I climaxed, so it was kind of cool. I'm not going to turn her in for that. It was kind of a turn on.
I'm not saying he's a donkey or a jackass getting punched. Man, I don't know what's going on in the bedroom.
This is so weird. People are bizarre. I don't know how you see people like this and you're like, how do you live that life? How are you involved in this craziness all the time?
Well, behind closed doors, of course.
I guess so.
Until your girlfriend gets the best of you and you don't like it.
I guess.
And it hurts. All right, hopefully that didn't hurt too much for you. We had a great time on the show. We're going to be back again tomorrow on an F Yeah Friday. Barry's going to have a comedian of the week. We're going to get you ready for F for football or the big football weekend. And we'll be talking about the Rockets and the Thunder on a Thursday night game in the NBA and much more. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.